All right, so where am I? Who are you people? Why am I here today?
We are excited about education. That's why you're here today.
Excellent.
We're here to talk about something really wonderful called MultiPoint. I'm Sherry Bilkowski. I'm with the Market Expansion Group, MEG.
Okay.
And I'm the General Manager for Education Solutions. And we'll introduce everybody else, and then we'll tell you what we're up to.
Perfect.
So I'm Jed Rose. I'm on Sherry's team, and I'm also in the Market Expansion Group. And I'm the Product Manager for MultiPoint.
Okay.
I'm Ravi Swain. I'm the Product Manager on the Education Products Group under Lindsay Sparks.
Okay. So what exactly is this MultiPoint thing, and why did you guys – what's going on here?
Okay, so the easiest thing is show and tell, right? This is education.
Let's do it.
So show and tell.
All right.
It's all about bunches of mice. So if you go to a school in any place, actually, you go to a classroom, but specifically we think about emerging markets. So if you go to a school, you'll see – PCs, if you're lucky, in the school, and typically the ratio of students to PCs is very high, meaning you don't get one PC per student. That's pretty standard. And in fact, in developed countries, that's quite typical as well. But in emerging markets, it can be as high a ratio as 40 to 1 because they just don't have that much technology.
Okay.
So not only do you have that ratio, but you also have the students only have a certain amount of time every week to play with the computer or use it for learning. But the reason this is important is because, especially in emerging markets, people need computer skills. They need to be comfortable. They need to have levels of digital literacy so that when they graduate through school or just to get through life, that they have a special set of skills. So everyone recognizes the importance of it. But to this point, PCs have been somewhat expensive for emerging markets, but it's also been a little bit confusing for teachers on how to use them to really help kids learn. Because if you think about what the average teacher goes through, I mean, if you have a teacher in your family or you know one, you know that they're just impossibly busy, and asking them to learn how to direct a kid to learn with a PC is a lot. So Microsoft Research in India came up with this very, very cool idea, and they started it by calling it MultiMouse. And what it does is it allows you to attach a whole bunch of mice, and Jed and Robbie will talk about the particulars here, to one PC.
Okay.
Each mouse has its own unique cursor. And the models that we've seen have different colors of cursors. Each student, therefore, gets to control their own mouse while they're on the PC. So what you see happen is if there's four or five kids gathered around a PC in a typical school environment, one child will have the mouse, and they'll be really the active learner directing everything. And the other kids will be kind of watching. Some of them will be checked out because they're not actively engaged and involved. So what this does is it allows all those passive learners to become active learners because each one has their own mouse. So not only does it engage more kids, but it also opens a world of possibilities for developers who are interested in building education software, because now they can build education software that allows a bunch of people to engage at one time. You can think of it as competitively playing like games, or you can think of it as solving a problem together, which is something that's very important for kids to learn. So that's really the basic thing they came up with, and now we're bringing it to market, and we're very excited about it, and we're hoping we'll get a ton of developers all over the world to build local language education applications.
Interesting. So as far as the developer is concerned, though, an event is an event, right? So if you have an application, so in other words, you're providing an API for me to be able, as a developer, to know that I can, you know, classify or identify mouse cursors.
Right.
And to do different things, if the cursors, you know, I can. In other words, how much flexibility do I get as a developer to know what to do with any kind of type of mouse? Can I identify them? Can users identify themselves, register themselves in my application? Blah blah blah.
So essentially, today's implementation we have a prototype of is a WinForms based SDK that essentially allows you to. Take an application and, you know, use WinProc, right? It essentially captures the events that come in, right? Like you said, an event is an event, and then essentially the mouse-specific events are directed to essentially a separate, you know, way of mechanism, right? So essentially, mouse event, you can just say, this mouse is for this person or this kid, right? You can identify, you know, colors or whatever else you might want to have on top of that. And essentially map those to that. So what we're doing to that is actually, you know, taking it to the next level with .NET 3.0 with the whole purpose of unification of input mechanism, right, where, you know, it's not just mouse-based, but it can really drive, going back to Sherry's point of multi-point, right, where it can take any input, whether it's mice or keyboard or joysticks or controllers or clickers, right, in classroom. And the idea is, you know, essentially, like from a .NET perspective, taking an event and essentially registering itself as, you know, a thread event, right? And from a thread event perspective, taking that message and any app or any control that listens to this multi-mouse can essentially respond to those events.
Excellent.
Right? And so the app developer can say, okay, you know, I can decide what I want to do with it, whether it's the scenario of, you know, I want to have different colors of mice that correspond to different things, or I can say, you know, take the input of all of these and have this be a clicker device, right? So as a teacher, I can stand up and say, four kids entered, you know, their response to question number four was, you know, answer A, B, C, D, and you all entered C. And, well, depending on whether you got it right or wrong, the teacher can decide how much time they actually want to spend on a particular topic or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can have extensions. You know, the application story is pretty immense, right? You can extend it in different ways, and that's the whole idea is we want to empower the developer community to kind of build applications specific for the geographies. Right? And so, I mean, I know in India, the sample application is reading, right? It was
right.
One of the little things.
Learning the alphabet.
Exactly.
But there are just, to me, it opens up a world of creative possibilities for developers. Because think about it, maybe it's not a different color mouse, but maybe it has a special icon for each kid that looks like them,
mm-hmm.
or it has an animal or something very creative.
Sure.
Yeah, and so the whole idea really, think about teachers too.
Mm-hmm.
Because teachers would go, well, now how can I facilitate it when my students are at a PC? What role can I play? And one of the cool things we've seen there's only been a couple of applications developed for it. One of the cool things we saw is that they'll track by mouse, so they'll track by students. So the teacher can see how each student is doing individually, so they can assess this and they get information back. But it's just totally open to creativity right now as far as we can see. It really allows developers to differentiate their applications as well if they multi-point enable them. So it's going to be very exciting, and we're just getting started. Right, Jen?
Very cool.
Yeah.
So let's take a little bit more into the scenario-based stuff. I mean, what else can we do with this?
Let's see it.
Well, yeah. So I'll
show
you a couple of examples.
Even better.
Yeah.
So this was created by the MSR India team.
Okay.
You want me to compete with
sure.
you? Sure. Okay.
And so in this case, we've got two cursors. I'm using the trackpad, and Sherry's using the mouse. It's a wireless mouse.
Yep.
Nice.
And so in this exercise, it's a tile game, and the object is to click as many boxes in your color.
That's really cool.
And then I can also competitively take away the boxes that Sherry just clicked there. And so you can see on the bottom here,
mm-hmm.
we can have up to 8 different mice hooked up to this game.
Oh.
And so I'll start the timer.
Oh, you're starting now.
And well,
oh, okay.
Actually, you're going to be winning this.
You're just letting the Wookiee win, aren't you? Anyway, the funny thing is when you do demos and you bring execs to compete with us and you let them play with it,
uh-huh.
they all get super competitive.
Oh, I bet.
And at the end, if they lose, somebody says, well, he had a faster mm-hmm. mouse than I did.
So
a faster mouse?
Yeah, right.
Hmm.
He had a better mouse. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, sure.
So she won 25-11 on that one.
Sweet.
Very cool.
And so the skills you learn in this, like motor skills, basic hand-eye coordination.
Color.
And here, I'll load up another example application here.
The cool thing about this is the research that they did in India when they developed this. They did a bunch of studies locally with kids in schools,
mm-hmm.
and the kids have no problem picking this up. They totally get it immediately. They're used
cool.
to a mouse. They understand, oh, that's my cursor. Now I get it. I don't have
mm-hmm.
any issues with it.
Yeah.
In fact, the kids themselves have said things like, this lets everybody play. It lets everybody share and participate. And
totally.
Because oftentimes what you'll find is, in a particular setting, there's one dominant kid in a group,
mm-hmm.
and it may be the oldest child, it may be the child of a higher social class,
mm-hmm.
it might be a gender thing, it might just be a personality thing,
mm-hmm.
but somebody often takes over. With this particular kind of application, nobody gets a takeover.
Cool. And the other, and you know, probably a lower tech use of this rather than actually writing an application would be, you know, you don't have to buy an extra piece of hardware, you just buy an
exactly.
extra monitor.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And then you have two different applications running and two kids doing different things at the same time
mm-hmm.
and giving two inputs. So it kind of extends
mm-hmm.
you know, the usability of the single box.
Very true.
So this is another example application where...
This is a hard one.
This could be like a competitive one where you have... and on the bottom right here, we have a scoreboard. And so at the end of the lesson, the teacher could see who didn't do well, who did do well.
Uh-huh.
And the person here then would ask a question either in the speech bubble or would say the letter... Like
uh-huh.
if you're trying to learn the English alphabet, so the letter Y. And then the students would then race to click on the right letter.
Go ahead. That's fine.
Okay.
See, it's really compelling. You can't not
S.
want.
So S. So I'm going to click.
Mine is correct.
D.
Mine is correct.
Oh, it's killing me.
And then we could turn on handicap and catch up, too.
Mine is correct.
Oh, now I get to play. Okay.
G.
G. not as easy as it
looks. That's correct.
But in addition to competing, certainly one of the key ideas here is to create applications where the kids collaborate on a task.
Absolutely.
So there could be a task where four students are participating and everybody has a different activity they have to accomplish before you can move on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what enables teaming.
Absolutely.
Which is a very important skill for the 21st century that a lot of people are saying students don't necessarily get in school.
True.
So this is one of the key applications for that.
Absolutely.
Just extend to that, I think, going back to the idea that you have necessarily, the model, you don't necessarily have PCs for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you can have one teacher that could be up with a machine, right, and be able to use in scenarios where I can say, hey, I'm lost in something where, and I need some help, right? And you can use that essentially using this technology, right? It can essentially trigger events essentially to the teacher, right, or whether I get something right or wrong or I need help, right? I mean, you can kind of, and the teacher can kind of get real-time feedback whether the kid is actually getting a concept or not, right, which is very powerful in education because you want to, when you stand up in front of the class, you don't necessarily know if everybody is getting the concepts, right? So,
sure.
So there are many, many scenarios that this can be extended.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, the question that arises, of course, is scale.
Yeah.
Right.
So how does a scale for a class of 50? I mean, it's not realistic to think a teacher is going to be able to monitor 50 students' unique mouse cursors. So let's talk about scaling. I mean, you could be much more creative than that, obviously. But.
Right. So in this case, you'd need just a few computers in order to reach, like, the 50 students, if you had, like, five on each, in each computer. The other thing, like, with the clicker scenario that Robbie mentioned, that could also work with a single PC. And with multipoint, we can't potentially support that many devices. It's just a matter of having enough power and enough hubs to support all the devices that are connected to it.
Or also the scenario Robbie talked about where you have a teacher in the front and the students, let's say they all have a wireless mouse at their desk.
Mm-hmm.
They have a desk.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the idea is that the teacher could, at intervals, test the student's understanding and comprehension of the material by asking them questions, little pop quizzes or little questions.
Mm.
And each student, they could all vote on whether what they think the answer is, and she could he could assess whether the class is keeping up. So there's a lot of different kinds of applications that would scale very, very well.
I think the limitation is really around how many mice the PC can really support, right? So
if
you think about, the fact that this laptop, I don't know how many USB hubs it has, right? But it's trackball plus two other, connected. But you can have a USB hub that has probably potentially even more.
Absolutely.
Right?
So you can just get an extender that has
exactly,
a number. Right?
Especially with wireless, you can essentially have, essentially a 30 case, right? It can easily be done, right?
But let's talk a little bit about the technical challenges with that, though. I mean, if I had a external device that supported 100 USB inputs that all went into one USB input,
right.
There's going to be some performance issues that are going to start to happen, the underlying system.
Right.
So I'm sure research has done work around making it the system a little bit be able to handle that scenario.
Yeah, I think that's where our migration from to .NET 3.0 comes in, right? Because essentially the WinForms approach, it's a WinProc event handler that just at that point there is a scale issue clearly, right?
Sure.
At some point you're only taking certain events and not passing it forward.
Yeah.
The fact that we're going to .NET 3.0 and it's essentially you register yourself as an event thread handler, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can decide how you want to pass those events on. So it's up to the app essentially to decide how I respond to what event, right? In which case, if I have the case where you talk about 100 of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
100 mice. I mean, I essentially have to decide which of those 100 events that I trigger off of, right? Am I looking at, I can essentially have an ID mapped to each event, right? So I can say this mouse is a certain ID, and from a user perspective, I can say the ID of that user is, this guy has, a flower or whatever, right? And you can have those events essentially be responded to the UI that reflects that, and you can just say, okay, this is, or a different color of the mice or whatever else it may be. So it's purely a user mode issue, right? And then, the next question is, so then you have, I think it's up to the app developer to think about, you know, at what point does the app stop working, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's some UI constraints that the app developer has to think about.
Sure.
Where you know, whether this, you know, this app is going to work with 300, you know, kids that are clicking on each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, and that, you know, in the end, I mean, that's going to happen. I mean,
right.
You're always going to have somebody in the class that's the clown or the troublemaker.
Right.
That's going to want to, like, you know, play
right,
around,
exactly.
And they're going to get competitive. I mean, it's very interesting.
Right, yeah. And so it's, I think there's UI implications on the developers that have to think about, you know, how do I constrain the problem set, right? And if someone has tried to override what I've done,
mm-hmm.
right, and do I think about, you know, essentially allowing, you know, pass the baton type of approach, right, or do I allow, you know, free form, right? I mean, that's about a case-to-case basis, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I wouldn't want an application that, you know, while I'm typing, someone can go and erase, you know, what I'm doing, right? So,
sure.
So I think there are some input issues that need to be decided upon.
Well, I think also you could have an app that gives the teacher some level of control.
Good.
So good class management, teachers know how to deal with this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's taken over, they're going to cut them off, and that kid's not going to be allowed to use it anymore, at least for that duration of that classroom. And that'll, you know, so you just have to empower the teacher maybe as the authoritative user in this case with some policy setting and so forth,
yeah,
I think,
and
developers can
do that. I mean, you know, one of the, I mean, the server-client approach, right? If you have a scale of, you know, there are 100, or I mean, the university case where there are, you know, 300 kids in the classroom, right? And do you want to have essentially an approach where there is a server and a client approach where you essentially aggregate all the responses and not necessarily have, you know, five? I mean, so you essentially break it up, the problem down by, you know, I get five, you know, mice's respond to one PC, and then there's some server component that dictates what I do with those responses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I can control who gets what at what point of time, right? And that's where it goes back to the teacher perspective,
mm-hmm.
of control, right?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you'll have to have the control that the teacher is doing.
But in a situation where you had five students, five monitors, and one computer, you could write applications that only subscribe to particular events and such that student A couldn't do anything on student B's monitor.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Application.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the events just wouldn't be, they'd be ignored.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of flexibility. That's very, very cool stuff. Let me just ask, though. I've never done this, but what happens today in, say, Vista or XP if you just stick two different mice in it?
Right now, it's just one cursor. So if we were to quit this.
I've never tried it. I was just curious. So, I mean, clearly, research is thinking this up.
So right now,
it can't be done, but
if I move this mouse here, that cursor moves, and it's the same cursor.
Okay.
So it treats them both as impacting the one cursor that's on the screen.
So that's really the innovation here, is you get two separate constructs as opposed to one.
Right.
Two uniquely controlled or multiple uniquely
that's
controlled
really cool.
cursors. And we've seen some fun, in fact, MSR and a couple other places, they've done some other fun games that are things like endangered animal species, and they'll show an image of, say, a panda, and then they'll show a bunch of little images of all kinds of animals, and the kids have to match that to the panda, and when they're successful, they learn something about the panda. There's some text comes up, and they can move on. So it's just amazing, the creativity opportunity, I think, for people. Now, you should talk about how they get it, right, when it's going to be available, right?
Oh.
Uh-huh. Now we get into the business side.
Because it's not out there yet, you know.
It's not.
So we're announcing this in December to help build some anticipation. We're releasing this to the Imagine Cup competition. The theme this year is Imagine a Better Education for All.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to make this SDK available to all the students who are coding for that.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. We're going to be covering that on Channel 9.
Oh, great.
Obviously. We did last year. We'll do it again this year. That's awesome.
And there's a special prize. Can you talk about that?
Yes, the winning team that comes up with the best use of multipoint, and we have a whole judging criteria,
mm-hmm.
But they'll receive an opportunity to do an internship at MSR India with the team that created the technology.
Yeah.
So now let's be clear, though. This isn't necessarily the team that wins Imagine Cup. This
That's
is a team that does the most innovative work.
That's right.
With
multipoint.
That's
this
right.
particular technology.
That is registered in certain categories in the Imagine Cup competition.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I could think of some interesting scenarios with remote usage,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, anyway, that's
yeah.
really cool. So basically the world is the developer's oyster here.
Yeah.
The SDK obviously is managed, but what if I'm an unmanaged developer? I want to write in C++. You know, hook me up?
Right now we're looking at a managed...
Managed-only solution?
Managed-only solution. We have a WinForms beta-based approach right now, and we're moving to .NET 3.0.
But I could use the libraries in C++.
Yeah, exactly.
CLI.
Those are available and it can be exposed.
And
perfect.
General release is May, right? May...
is the RTM.
Is the RTM for
cool.
beyond the Imagine Cup.
Yep. And we'll be doing regular monthly updates to the builds.
So what would be cool would be let's ship a sample up on Channel 9
When you guys are ready, we'll throw it in the sandbox.
Yeah, in fact, in January, we're planning to have a sample that is available as part of the Imagine Cup and stuff. Right. And it'd be cool to have that.
Cool.
At the channel.
Well, a lot of the Imagine Cup students and ones that are thinking about being in Imagine Cup are Niners. They spend a fair amount of time on Channel 9.
Yeah.
So this would be kind of cool to get them start to play with it.
Right, great. That's
cool. One of the things we're especially asking them to do as part of the Imagine Cup is to partner with somebody who's a pedagogy expert, meaning a learning scientist, perhaps in the College of Education or a professor at their school, to make sure that the application they submit has some real learning value and is actually pretty sound from an educational perspective. So that'll be a great way for them to partner with other people in the university as well and learn something about building up education applications, which maybe they can then take on and build a business. Who knows?
Cool. So I guess the other question would be, as you mentioned earlier, or alluded to anyway, that this is really just the beginning, right? The mouse is basically the simplest form of input ever,
right?
By definition. Right. Mm-hmm. Keyboard comes next.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine what you could do with cameras.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
So this is going to be some trippy, interesting
stuff.
Sure,
we've talked about cameras, potentially touch screens.
Nice.
You could also think about scenarios where you have one user with two mice. You know, what if you want to mix two music tracks at the same time or tweak the picture, like the contrast and the brightness at the same time to get the way you want it to look.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of things you can think about, a lot of scenarios where you do want to tweak more than one thing at once.
But I think the other one is the music when you kind of alluded, right? And having an orchestra, right? I mean, essentially collaborative sessions where, you know, I might be playing the piano, someone else playing the drum, and, you know, you can actually put together, I mean, I'm just throwing out examples of what could be done, right? And they don't necessarily all have to be, you know, you could kind of extend this in the model where they don't necessarily even have to be all in the same machine, right? I mean, they could be, you know, someone else is sitting somewhere else, and you're putting together this entire thing together with multiple input, right?
That's awesome.
So it's pretty exciting.
It's
very,
definitely
very
not
cool.
Just restricted to emerging markets and education.
Yeah.
That's where we want to.
Well, that's a good place to.
It.
That's a good place to start. I mean,
because
in reality, you're talking about. I mean, let's. You know, for the Niners out there, maybe you don't understand. What do you mean by emerging market? Besides the obvious definition of emerging in market, let's talk about it.
So typically, in emerging markets, the way we define that is markets that are considered not necessarily the developed countries on the World Bank Index.
Mm-hmm.
So it's typically places like China and India and Brazil and Mexico and lots of countries in Latin America and lots of countries in Southeast Asia and in Africa and Eastern Europe and other places where they're just beginning to seize the opportunity with technology. And the beautiful thing about it, I think, in emerging markets is that they're not restricted by having current legacy technology to have to overcome.
Yeah.
So things like this, the multipoint, they can begin their education applications with this without having to think, wow, how can I retrofit something that's already out there? So emerging markets have an enormous potential. That's where Microsoft believes our next billion customers are. I think everybody in the world agrees with that. And they're very excited about technology and the possibilities. And the number one scenario in emerging markets for people who want to acquire a PC is education.
Sure.
So.
And I mean, this isn't just about making money.
No.
I mean, as you said, the Imagine Cup is not about money. The Imagine Cup's about imagining making the world a better place.
Right. Exactly.
So this software is going to help enable that. It's not another way for us to make a bunch of money, which is important.
Well, it is.
Understand
and
that.
Especially for developers out there who are looking at that bigger picture and who want to make that community contribution to learning and education, this is a fantastic platform to deliver that on for your local country and your local schools.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Very cool. I mean, I could see, even in Seattle, I was down at, last year, we were at Rainier High, which is a very poor high school.
Yeah.
And we went into their computer quote-unquote lab, and it was pretty much the saddest thing I've ever seen, from considering it's the United States of America and Seattle to top it.
Right.
So I could see some really interesting uses of technology right here in a non-emerging market, but a place where we need it.
With respect to the Imagine Cup, you know, if we were to get applications developed in English, you know, which would be helpful in this situation that you just talked about, there are schools in emerging markets that do also want to learn English as a second language.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that as a great opportunity to develop some education applications that really could scale worldwide.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. So what's some of the feedback you guys have gotten? Like, have you worked with any devs yet on the platform? What do they think?
Well, the
or students or whatever, just any kind of feedback.
People in academia that have seen it, I mean, professors, teachers, are blown away by it because immediately they can imagine the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
The students that have had a chance to play with it have definitely demonstrated much longer engagement than they would ever have if they had, you know, hadn't had their own mouse. So there's been a lot of research around that too. So teachers are excited. I see parents who are super excited about it because they think, wow, I could entertain my kids on one learning application at home with one PC for a long time, and they wouldn't be fighting over it.
Exactly.
There's just a million different kinds of positive reactions we've seen to it. And I think from a government perspective in emerging markets, the thought that they can take the technology investments they've already made and make them more useful and relevant for education by just adding a few mice, the price of a few mice, is a tremendous value proposition, and we've gotten really positive feedback on that.
Very cool. Yeah. And it seems like even, you know, other platforms that we've created could use this. I mean, certain ones we already deal with, the two mouse situation, the clearest example is Xbox. Yes.
Right.
But there's some other very interesting things that could happen. Pretty cool. So what else? What else do you want to get out there to the world? And that's kind of a vague question.
I think the main thing I want to get out there is that we're really excited about this technology. I think what the real potential for this is seeing what developers do with it. And, you know, really it's only limited by their imagination and the number of USB slots that they have.
Sure.
And so we're really excited to see what the developer community creates. And we're also looking forward to getting your feedback because we do want to make a quality build. And we will be collecting their feedback as we go from alpha to beta and as we release to market.
And again, alpha's in January?
In January. And then we'll have, like Ted mentioned, we'll have monthly CTPs available, right, that they can play with, and with more samples and stuff coming along the way that, you know, we'll have, that we want to try different things, folks play with it and give us feedback, and it will only make it better, right, with actual real developer feedback. So,
of course.
Yeah. We're just looking for ambitious developers that really want to test something brand new to the market that came out of Microsoft Research. It's highly innovative. I think it's a breakthrough. I think people that get the first edge with it are going to have a lot of fun with this platform.
Very cool.
We want them.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
This
is great stuff.
Thanks.
And talk to you guys again sometime.
That's good. Thanks.
See ya.